I Suck at Dating with Dean Ungler, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining me and my friends here on this week's episode of Help, I Suck at Dating. Same as last week, got Vanessa and Jared in studio here.
Hello. Yay.
Very special episode. I say that every time, but this time I really, really mean this one's a really special episode. Mm-hmm. Of course, Mark and Eastern here. We're going to be joined in studio by two of my very close friends. We'll get to that a little bit later. But very first, we have an elite matchmaker. We've had some matchmakers on before, but never a proclaimed elite matchmaker, which is exciting. She goes by the name Tammy Pickle, and I think she's on the phone right now. Tammy, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, thank you so much for calling in. So for the listeners out there, Tammy is the VP from Elite Connections. And Tammy, do you mind just telling us a little bit more about you? I could give the rundown, but I'm sure that you can say it a little bit better than we can.
Yeah, so we have a matchmaking agency my mom started almost 25 years ago, and we meet everyone, screen everyone, make sure they are who they say they are, run background searches on all of our clients, and we just try to make the best matches for them. We don't do any kind of blind dating, so our clients are always seeing each other's information, approving to meet each other, and it's real private, and we just send select members to each other. We don't have a database where anyone would see, so privacy are a concern. They're coming to us, you know, they're looking for a higher caliber professional, somebody that's serious about finding the right person, settling down. That's the type of person that's coming to us.
Well, so tell us about that. And just so you know, you're joined here with me, Jared, and Vanessa.
Hi, Tammy.
Hi.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. So tell us a little bit more about what makes, I guess, the eliteness of the matchmaking that you're working with.
You know, we do work for more of a professional, somebody that wants to find the right person. They want us to do all that screening for them. So they don't want to kind of go the online route, or maybe they did and it didn't work for them, and they just want to meet a better quality individual that we've met and screened, and we know who they are, and they're not being deceitful or lying about what they're looking for or who they are. You know, so many online sites, and you can be anyone you want to be. You could be married, you mm-hmm. could be lying about what you do or where you live or anything about yourself. So, the people that are coming to us, they do tend to be more serious. They are investing in a matchmaker, and they really want us to do the vetting and screening for them.
So there's no like requirement for an income bracket or something like that would require them to meet a certain threshold in order to be working with you. I guess that's the question.
Not necessarily, but you know, they are investing in a company with us. They are investing a certain amount of money, and you know, we don't work for free. So, you know, they are investing in us searching and recruiting and finding them appropriate matches. So then, you know, fees, depending on length of time, type of membership, where we're searching, they would start at $9,000 and go up from there. So it's not everyone that wants to invest in a company like ours. It's somebody that is making, you know, typically, you know, six figures and up. But we, you know, work for all different types of people.
Can I ask you what the split of men and women using you as a service is? Is it 50-50? Do you typically see more men kind of needing your service more than the women?
Pretty much even split, 50-50. You know, we have tens of thousands of clients in our database, and it's pretty split down the middle.
Gotcha. Very
so do you have numbers on your success rate? Like how many people join it, and then how many people end up in a relationship because of this company?
Yeah, so we came up with 8 out of 10 would find someone that are in a committed relationship 6 months or longer.
That's really good. 80%.
That's better than Bachelor rating.
Oh my God, that's way better than Bachelor.
Well, Tammy, I have a question for you. I actually went online and I checked out the questionnaire, which I loved. It was simple. It was straight to the point. I want to know, what do you feel makes two people compatible?
You know, interests, hobbies, some things are very important to someone. So if, let's say, religion is very important, or they were wanting to have children is very important, or somebody, you know, grew up and they're very interested and they golf a lot, or they're interested in certain hobbies or sports. You know, somebody that's really into something, I think it's good for the other person to also be interested in, at least to have something, a few things in common, especially if something is kind of deal breaker, like a religious preference. You know, it's very important with their family and they want somebody the same. Somebody really wants to have kids. You know, those are very deal breaker situations that are going to be important. But I think something, to have something in common with someone that sporty, active, they like going out, they like being outdoorsy, you know, versus kind of homebody. You know, they don't like going out. It, you know, something has to be a good fit for a good connection.
When someone new comes to you and they say that they're looking for a connection for a relationship, what are the first three things that they typically say that they're looking for in a significant other, guy or girl?
You know, what somebody may look like, a type that they have in their head, age parameter, I usually hear, you know, I want this to this. Location is usually big, especially in LA. People don't want to date too far. Traffic is too hard. It's hard enough to, you know, be able to see the person within, you know, 20 minutes versus hours of getting together. So those are probably big things that I would hear.
So when you first meet somebody, do you, when you hear these people's preferences, do you, how like much do you take that into account? Because obviously they're going to you for help because they're single. So how much do you take that into account versus, okay, this is what I think is best for you?
Right. So, you know, they are coming to us and they need to take our expertise. So if I have somebody in mind that might be a bit out of their age parameter or their location parameter, I will let them know, I think this person is great. I've met them personally. I think that you would be a good fit for this reason. And you should be open-minded, meet them, see what happens. So they are hiring us. And, you know, I would want them to take somebody that we had in mind for them and we thought was going to be a good match. I would want them to meet them. But we also don't want to force matches on anyone. We want both people to be excited. And that's why we're always going to show pictures and profiles. And we want both people to say yes, and they're interested and they're attracted and all of those things.
And do you match one person with multiple people or is it one-on-one?
Yeah, just one-on-one. See how it goes with that person, and then we could work on something else after that. But we really do like our clients to focus on that one person versus meeting two, three people at once. You know, how can you really invest your time in getting to know that person if it's split between multiple people?
And that's a good point, too. I think the big thing with modern dating apps is no one really holds you accountable to date just one person. You kind of have free range to date however many people you want. But if you work with a matchmaker such as yourself, you're only going to be introducing one person to another person at a time and not, you know, multiple people, which I think helps you focus on the relationship at hand.
I agree.
Right. I mean, how can you get to know someone and invest 100% of your time if you're seeing what else is out there and you're dating around and you're, you know, meeting multiple people? So, I mean, somebody that's pretty serious, I would say, would want to just focus on that one person and see what happens. But app dating is so tricky because there's always somebody around the corner and you're always talking with someone, getting attention from somebody. So it's a tricky world out there with all that app dating and online dating.
Absolutely. There's a lot of sparkly things out there. So do you have any, I just had a quick question about, is there a one date minimum? Is there a three date minimum? Like say you match somebody with somebody, is there like, okay, you have to hang out with them at least two times before you move on to another person?
I mean, we always suggest if somebody is interested in a second date and you're both, you know, interested and maybe one was like, I don't know, and then we'll come back and we always get feedback from both people and we can let them know, oh, she really liked you, she'd love to see you again. So it kind of helps them make a decision if they want to go forward with it, because sometimes they may be like, well, she's just being polite, I don't know if she's interested, and maybe, you know, the sparks weren't flying. But we would, if at least one person's interested, we would let the other know. We think that you should focus on getting to know that person, because how well can you get to know someone after an hour dinner date? So if somebody was interested, we say give it another go. But, you know, there are those times where, like, no, I was not attracted. We'd had nothing in common. I don't want to see that person again. And we wouldn't force anything.
Gotcha.
Interesting.
I have a question for you, Tammy. So what advice do you have for a listener of this podcast that maybe isn't able to afford a professional matchmaker such as yourself that still wants to obviously put themselves out there?
Yeah, I would say, you know, do things out of the norm. You know, if you're just kind of focused on work and you do the gym and you, you know, kind of go home, I would just say try to find more things to go to meet other people, go to charity events, go to functions, go to sporting events, concerts, you know, try to do get-togethers with friends and do different things where you're kind of getting out and into the community and meeting people different ways. And, you know, also just kind of always going going out your very, very best. I mean, so many people, they're you know, going out in yoga clothes with their hair in a bun and no makeup. You know, just always look your very, very best because you never know when you could run into that person.
And the guys are pointing at me.
Oh, stop that. You look beautiful.
No, I get it. You know, I like to be comfortable as well. But you feel good when you look good and you've put yourself together and you've done your hair and makeup. And especially if you're single and you're out there, don't complain about never finding anybody because it could be, you know, anywhere. It could be at the grocery store. So just, true. You know, always try to look your very best and you never know.
I'll be honest. I'm the opposite. I always basically look my worst.
It's exhausting.
I did have a question about the ages. Mm-hmm. When it comes to age, do you feel like age is just a number? And it, you know, if there's an age gap, should women be dating older men? Should women be now dating younger men? What's your take on that?
You know, I love for people to be open-minded with age because, you know, somebody has this age in their head. Oh, I don't want to date, let's say a 40-year-old woman comes. I don't want to date over 50. They have this over 50 is like too old in their head. But so many people take such good care of themselves nowadays, and they're so fit and active, and they're healthy, and they eat well, and they work out, and so and people age differently. So one 50-year-old versus another, you might be attracted to one and not the other. So being open-minded is great, but also, you know, it is tricky because it's, you know, you have this number in your head, and you know, most women give us like an 8 to 10 year age window, mm-hmm. their age and older. Not many women want to date younger than them. And the people that come to us is the same kind of with men. They typically want to date, you know, their age and 8 or so years younger, depending. And then, you know, not many men want to date that much older, maybe a couple years, but for the most part, they're not wanting to date, you know, much older than them. But that's kind of what I see.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. That makes a lot of sense. Well, Tammy, do you have like a website or an Instagram maybe that we can plug real quick for the listeners if they want to reach out to you and maybe consult your services?
Yeah, Elite Connections. Website is eliteconnections.com. And if you have any information, you know, give us a call and or check us out on our website. Instagram is also Elite Connections. And the number would be 800-923-4200.
There you go. If you're listening to this podcast and you're serious about getting matched up, check out Tammy.
Check it out. Tammy, I just had one more question before you go. Why,
yeah.
Just out of curiosity, when you guys started the business, why did you go after people that are of a higher bracket income? Just, it's a very interesting dynamic.
It's not necessarily that we only work for higher bracket income, but because we do charge for our services, and when we started 25 years ago, our fees were much lower. But we have been around a very long time, and we have a very large database and a really large matchmaking team, and we work hard for all our clients. So we do charge, you know, a bit for our services, but we are working for somebody for 6 months or longer.
Of course, yeah, it's definitely an investment.
It is an investment, but, you know, for somebody that's really serious and committed to finding the right person, and they don't want to sift through a million different profiles online. They don't have the time, or they would never go that route. They don't want to put themselves out there like that. It just so happens that somebody that can afford $9,000 or up is typically making, you know, six figures or more.
I just didn't know if there was any, like, stat behind maybe there was more singles within that demographic than others.
Yeah, no, not necessarily. I mean, we work for teachers. We work for, you know, celebrities and billionaires. So, I mean, we work for all different types of people, but more so somebody that's really invested and maybe kind of tried the online route and didn't work for them, and they really are serious about finding somebody, and they don't want to waste their time.
So what would you say to the people that would say that investing this much in finding your soulmate is probably not worth the money that they would pay in?
Well, wait, I'm sorry, say it again.
For example, like if somebody was like, it's just too much money for me to invest in trying to find a soulmate.
you know, it's not for everyone. Not everyone wants to invest in this type of company, and that's perfectly fine. So, you know, maybe if they wanted to try the online route. But, you know, yeah, it's not for everyone, but we're pretty comparable with other companies that have been around as long as we have, and we do work very hard for our clients. But, yeah, it's not for everyone.
No, I love how personalized it is. I really, that's my favorite part of this entire, is that you meet with them, talk to them, and really kind of learn. And even on your website, you say that you become friends with everybody that invested mm-hmm. in this company, which I really enjoy. And it definitely is not only an investment, but a friendship between the company and the individual.
And that's why success rate is so high, I'm sure.
It's nice to know everyone and then try to put two people together that we think would be a good fit. Of course, you're not going to know until you sit down and there's a connection and go from there. But it is nice to feel like we have a large network of friends and we just are trying to match our friends together. But we're not going to get upset if you don't like our friend. We'll just move on.
Perfect. All right. Well, Tammy Pickle, ladies and gentlemen, making the world a better place one relationship at a time. Be sure to check her out at www.eliteconnections.com on the website. And then Tammy, your email, I think, is tammy@eliteconnections.com. Yeah,
that's right.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for calling
and
joining
Tammy.
Us and telling us a little bit more about what you do at Elite Connections. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Tammy.
Thank you so much.
Have a great day.
You too. Bye.
Bye. Man, $9,000
is a lot. I can't get past that number.
I literally took off my earphones like, what?
That's why I had to ask. I was like, listen, this is not meant to be for the everyday person. Like, nobody's going to, I mean, not a lot of people are going to invest $9,000 within 6 months to try to find their soulmate. It seems also very artificial.
Yeah.
It's very business-like, which is okay. Like, she's running a business and she's trying to find her soulmate. But having said that, I can't get past the fact that it does feel very business-like on a very emotional decision.
How does it feel business-like?
Because it's like, well, you have to invest and then we're going to sit down and negotiate about what you like and what you don't like. And then when you go, like, we're going to match you up with one person at a time. And if you don't like that person, then we can move on. It's very just like strategic.
I don't know. I think it's like maybe if you fit into that income bracket, then that's the route that you would take. And there's other different matchmaking websites that you can go on that are a lot less. They're either free or cheaper, right? I don't think it's more. I didn't see it as a business.
I'm not saying that as a bad thing. I think sometimes that's needed. Because like she said, when you go on a dating app, like there is a lot of options, right? You're not focused, right? You're just kind of like swiping through it. It's more casual than anything else. Where this is very focused and, you know, on the task at hand.
I think for her demographic that she's working with matching as well, it probably fits in well because the people that she's working with are going to be those more business-minded, focused type people where they're like, all right, I spend 80 hours a week on my job. I would like to have a very similar strategic approach to my relationship.
Right. And if you're investing $9,000, you know that they want to find a serious, committed relationship. So that's something that I'm 30 years old now. And like I said last podcast, yes, I'm dating someone.
Yeah, let's go. All right. Woo! Feeling good.
Where are my jelly beans?
Get the woman some jelly beans.
Is that my God. Relationship,
wait,
for goodness.
No.
Oh, good
wait,
Lord.
I wanted to say, when I turned 30, Nick and I had just broken up, and I turned 30, and I was like, oh my God, I want kids, I want a family, I want all that stuff. And then you start thinking and calculating, okay, it's going to take me X amount of time to find someone, and when I do find someone, it'll take me a year to really get to know them, and then I want to have kids, you know. And then I'm like, oh my God, by the time I want to have a family, I'll probably be like 35, 36. And then I started thinking, well, I've never done any dating apps. The only two apps I have are Instagram and Facebook, which people do end up meeting each other on those apps. But then I started thinking, okay, well, what if I should be open to the idea of going on these dating websites, matchmaking websites? So if I were in the position where I was single and I wanted to find someone and find a real committed relationship, $9,000, that's a lot of money. But I mean,
you'll take it more seriously.
Yeah,
for
you
sure.
would definitely take it more seriously.
I was going to say, can I ask you, as I don't think 30 years old is old by any stretch of
the
imagination.
No.
But do you kind of notice yourself being willing to compromise on certain areas of a relationship because you know that you want to have a family and kids and all that kind of stuff? So you're willing to give way a little bit more on certain things that maybe you didn't before?
Yeah. I mean, there's certain things that I know I'm not ever willing to give up. Motherhood is one
of
them.
Of course,
So I think Because I'm the type of person that doesn't know how to date multiple people at the same time. I just like, if I like you, that means I can see a potential future with you and I want to date you seriously. So I'm not like, oh, let's start off as friends and friends could end up becoming like, that's like the line that guys use nowadays. Let's start off as friends and then maybe we could, you know, like, it can develop into something deeper. Like, no, don't friend zone me first. Like,
guys are the worst.
Yeah, guys suck.
The worst.
So, yeah. Yeah, I mean, not agreeing to that. I'm saying I'm agreeing to compromising on certain things. But I think the older you get, the more you know yourself and the more you know what you're okay to walk away from.
And what you need to prioritize.
Right.
I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
I agree. Well, Vanessa, you just talked about motherhood. So what else? What better way to talk about Sherry's Berries than to talk about your mom and what you love most about her? Sherry's Berries is awesome. You can show that you put thought into her gift. Mom will love it, I swear. Mother's Day is right around the corner as well, and I'm always looking for gifts for Mom's Day.
What are you going to get your mom this year, Jared? I mean, Sherry's Berries, of course.
Obviously.
What is your go-to gift usually?
I usually get, I'm very busy. I get flowers, you know, flowers and some sort of, that's what I go for.
Because you're not near her, right? Is she far away?
No, so my mom's in Rhode Island, so yeah. I usually get, this is the first time I'll be away from home for Mother's Day, though. So I usually get her flowers and a nice little card, and I'll write something, a nice little note of how appreciative I am of her. Because that's the other thing, you always want to remind your mom of grateful you are for putting up with all the crap that she put up with when I was a kid. I still feel guilt over that. But Sherry's Berries is a great, great, great Mother's Day gift. Right now, our listeners can send Sherry's Berries starting at $19.99 plus shipping and handling. Or check this out. You can also double the berries for just $10 more. Ooh. Your berries will arrive in Sherry's Berries signature gift box with a beautiful ribbon. No gift wrap required.
Amazing.
Amazing, amazing, amazing.
I'm just going to order myself a Sherry's Berries.
As you well should.
I'm going to. May 14th is the day, Mother's Day.
May 13th is Mother's Day.
I'm just going to order myself a big double bouquet and have some of these Sherry's Berries.
And just remember, Sherry's Berries has more than just berries. They've added amazing new treats. They're created with mom in mind, like a Mother's Day cake pops or strawberry cheesecake bites. There's only one way to get this amazing deal for mom. Freshly dipped strawberries starting at $19.99 plus shipping and handling. Remember, you can also double the berries for $10 more. Mother's Day is May 13th. 13th, Dean, come on now. So visit berries.com today.
Berries.com. Nice poll on that website.
That's a good domain to own.
That is nice. BERRIES.com. Then click on the mic in the upper right corner and enter our promo code dating. That's DATING. If you don't remember, because we all suck at dating, obviously. That's the promo code dating. That's berries.com. Promo code dating. Check it out.
Check it out. What an incredible ad spot by Jared Heimel.
Jared, that is awesome. Yeah, Jared, that was really good.
All right.
Over. Winner by technical knockout, Jared Heibon, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, that's it for me, guys. I'm out of here.
All right, so I want to move on to this next segment real quick. Two of my very close friends are getting married on Saturday, and instead of having their wedding as typically we see, where you go up on the altar, you share your vows and commit to each other for the rest of your lives, which is a beautiful ceremony and all that, what they're doing is they're taking the most important day of their lives and making it about other people. It's called the Greatest Wedding Ever Donated. And what they're going to be doing is trying to raise $500,000 for 5 separate charities.
That makes me so happy.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Incredible, incredible. So they're going to come in studio right now. Okay, so here we are joined in studio by Caleb and the soon-to-be Tiffany Remington.
Yay! Wow, that's the first time I heard that.
Aww. How's it sound? It sounds good.
It doesn't.
It really does.
Yeah, I know.
So tell the listeners, I gave them a very brief rundown on kind of what you guys are doing on Saturday for your wedding, but tell us a little bit more about maybe your story, how you met. You guys have been doing a press circuit, so I'm sure you're familiar with just kind of the rundown of how it all goes.
So we have the hour version, we have the 30-second version, and we have the...
We'll take the 10-minute version.
So Tiffany and I met 3 years ago through a mutual friend, Sophie.
Well, I want to hear more of that story because I actually read up on it.
I read up on it too.
I did. And I'm like, oh my God, that's the cutest thing.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
Tiff, take it away.
Okay. All right. Well, so a mutual friend I went to college with, her name's Sophie, and she went to high school with Caleb. And she had moved out to California and then posted a picture on Instagram. And then I was just flipping through. Funny thing is, because you were talking.
I was just saying people meet off of Instagram and Facebook now.
Did you see me dancing in the back? I'm like, that's us. So I was flipping through the people that liked the picture and he was the only guy. And at that point, I'd been dating in LA for about a year and a half. And I'm like, you know. And then she told me a little bit about him. She's like, oh, he's from where we grew up. And I was like, all right, well, you need to introduce me to him. And she never did. And then I decided to just follow him on Instagram. And then he followed me back.
Oh, that follow can get you far.
I know.
This goes back to our conversation with Erica, which we can dive in on a little bit later, but continue. Sorry.
No, you're good. So, yeah, we liked each other's pictures for the next 6 months and didn't say a word to one another. And then on my birthday, on my 24th birthday, he commented amazing on a with a
well let's talk
point.
About yeah, why he said
yeah,
that
why it's amazing. So Tiffany has this tradition on her birthday. She adds a zero to her age and then makes that many lunches for the homeless people in her community. So
you guys are amazing.
I was like, yeah, that was like, what kind of selfless person is not going to Vegas with her friends and getting drunk and partying, but instead spending her own money and taking her own time to basically serve those in her community? I said, amazing. And
wifey material.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, I totally noticed that. So then I took my girlfriend Sophie's phone and texted him as her. And I said, hey, want to go to a Dodgers game? And he said, yes. And then he canceled the day before.
Yeah, the day before I canceled, I had a work function come up. And then I was like, but next weekend, I'm going out to Lake Havasu with a couple friends. We're going to fly out there. If you and any of your friends want to come, a.k.a. Tiffany, we can, you guys are welcome. So we met out in Lake Havasu and you can tell your, the rain.
Oh, we met and we hugged and then there was a rain cloud above us. Literally when we hugged, it started raining and there was no, there was
and
not a cloud
luck.
In the sky.
It is good luck.
That is good luck.
It's straight out of the notebook.
That's what I said. And I go, and I'm like, no, this is my husband. The notebook really laid it out for us. So, yeah, the rest was pretty much history on that.
Yeah, so we dated for a year and a half, and we got engaged out in Kauai. She was working like crazy hours. She was traveling all over the country helping this nonprofit, the Maliola Foundation.
Aww.
And so I was like, you know what? I knew I wanted to propose, and I didn't know when or where. And then my friend reached out and said, hey, you should come out to Kauai. And I was like, oh, this would be perfect time. Tiffany needs to get away and like escape for a week. And he's like, and by the way, if you're going to do it, this is the most amazing place on earth to propose. And I was like, the fact that you just said that means everything to me. So I bought a ring a week later, it showed up at her doorstep. We went out to Kauai and we went on this beautiful hike and we got engaged. And on the hike back is when we kind of started talking about what love meant to us. What did we want our wedding day to look like? And it kept coming back down to community because I was diagnosed with cystic fibrosis when I was one. And so every opportunity I've had, I basically raised money and awareness for this disease. And Tiffany has been through a slew of mental health issues and depression, sexual abuse, and has PTSD from her childhood trauma. So she really leaned on her community in high school to get out of that. And so it just made perfect sense that, you know, on our big special day, we should give back to those who have given us so much and why we're here today and why we're still standing.
You guys are amazing. I'm like tearing up just listening to this story.
Yeah,
I have
sweet.
Goosebumps all over. I mean, and for those of you listening, you guys are just beautiful people and you have just beautiful souls. So it's amazing to have done something like this. And Tiffany, you're not even feeling well. You've been sick like all week because you've been planning this and this gala event that's coming up on Saturday for your birthday.
I know.
For your wedding.
For your
your birthday is coming up soon. No. Yeah, it's been wild. It's been a year and a half of planning, and I think just this past weekend we had our rehearsal for like all the musical components, and that was the first time that we actually saw tangible planning coming to life. So it kind of put everything into perspective for us, and we also were just surrounded by 30 plus people who jumped on board and got behind the mission and really believed in not only us but what we're trying to do. And yeah, it was really life-changing for the both of us, and this is everything that we had dreamt of when we were first talking about this. And again, to kind of see it come to full fruition is pretty wild. But
so can you walk us through what the day's going to look like?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so it's going to be an amazing day. It's going to be an immersive experience that is hopefully life-changing for everyone. We're going to have a reception from 3 to 5, open bar. We're going to have activation events, so you can talk about those a little.
Yeah, so we're having like little community activities that help kind of stir purposeful and intent. I don't know if that's a word, but I'm going to go with it.
We're going to make that a word.
Conversations and, like Caleb said, cocktails and some hors d'oeuvres to kind of get everyone acquainted with one another, because not only are our friends and family coming, but we have strangers and just community members that are coming and joining us too. So we're really excited for that. And then at 5 p.m., we kick off with the actual ceremony, and Caleb and I actually get married.
Yay.
Woo!
And I'm ordaining the wedding.
Big news. Dean is there. And so...
Wait, for real?
Yeah, I'm officiating the wedding.
No.
Oh, this, stop! I am so gullible.
I should have just let it go. Yeah.
But wait, Dean will be there.
Yeah, and hopefully you guys too, if you guys aren't doing anything.
So I was with, I told you, I was with Brandy this weekend, and Brandy Cyrus is going to be DJing your wedding at the gala event, right?
The benefit concert.
Mm-hmm. So she's like, you guys got to come out. I was like, oh my God, like this is such an amazing cause. I'll be part of your wedding.
Yes.
Celebrating with you guys.
100%.
And the money.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I was going to say, let's talk about the organizations that you decided to partner with. So you, the goal is to raise $500,000 for 5 separate nonprofit organizations.
Yep, definitely. Yeah. So following our wedding ceremony, we go straight into the gala where we talk about all 5 nonprofits that we're raising money for. For me, mental health, education, and low income families is the cause areas that I was personally touched by. Caleb kind of touched on it a little bit earlier about my history and my past. For education, we have Think Together. They're one of the largest after school programs in California, and they do absolutely amazing work. A lot of immersive programs that really give the kids tools and resources to succeed. Then we have the Wayfair Foundation, which also is our fiscal sponsor, which allows us to operate as a 501c3. Is serving the homeless population in Los Angeles County. So they have an amazing event called the Skid Row Carnival of Love, which is all about, you know, a big celebration for those who are experiencing homelessness, and also providing resources that they may need, whether if it's health, education, finance, and so forth. And then the last one is To Write Love on Her Arms. And I don't know if you guys know this organization, but they started back in 2006, and I learned about them through MySpace.
What? Circa like 19.
For our listeners, MySpace used to be an online Facebook thing.
Yeah. So they started this huge campaign to write love on her arms to help raise awareness for suicide, and also to raise awareness for suicide prevention. So they're going to be there as well, and we're really excited. And I'll pass it over to Caleb to talk about the other two.
Yeah. So as I mentioned, I was diagnosed with CF. So my family, after they heard I was diagnosed, I got the life expectancy of 19 years old.
And you're how old now?
27.
Woo-hoo! That deserves like hot take.
We love the support. So yeah, my family really leaned on the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation for, you know, education, resources, and hope. And so we are going to give a portion to the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation. In particular, one of their programs that targets targeted drug therapies, which is very promising for me. So they have the ability now to basically go into the specific cells that are affecting my lungs and correct them using crazy, crazy science. And so I was on a clinical trial for one of the drugs that the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation invested in. It didn't work out, but you know, in the next 2 to 4 years, it's looking very promising that I could potentially have a therapy that could eradicate a lot of these symptoms and slow down the progression of my disease. So we're really excited and stoked to give back to them, as well as Global Genes, which is a rare disease foundation. There's over 7,000 different rare diseases. And you can imagine, you know, it doesn't get the publicity, the hype that breast cancer gets or any of these others. So they need all the support they can get. And they have such an amazing foundation, and they make such a huge splash in that community. And they're really driving to give these patients resources and find cures. So yeah, the five amazing organizations.
Five incredible organizations. Yeah. And I think it's definitely worth noting that Caleb said it when he was born, or when he was diagnosed at 1 year old, mm-hmm. he's basically doubled his life expectancy since then.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And obviously you said 2 to 4 years from now, there could be even more groundbreaking discoveries and yeah. medical advancements that will allow you obviously to live longer than that. I mean, I don't think any of us can really imagine what it must be like to go through life with that type of disease. But I think it's obviously incredible what you guys are doing. And I think that we all could kind of take a page out of your books. And Tiffany is actually, when I first moved to Los Angeles, she was one of the people that I think I first sat down, had like a real in-depth conversation with. And we actually went to Honduras. We went to Honduras like 2 months ago with Ben and Riley and the Humanity and Hope Foundation. And you can really just see that she's a very bright light in this world. Aww. And she's continuing to do those great things with this organization. And obviously Caleb is an incredible man as well. Every time I play golf with him, he kicks my ass. But that's what blows my mind. You have this like degenerative disease of cystic fibrosis, mm-hmm. and yet you still kick everyone's ass at every sport that you compete in them with. It's like, how do you have 65% lung function and you're still getting birdies on every single hole? I don't know. I mean, obviously it's incredible what you guys are doing, and thank you so much for coming in and sharing your story.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
It's pretty incredible, even from an outsider like myself. Like, you guys came in and I'm almost speechless to a certain extent because of how incredible that you are on your individual, but as a couple, how powerful this really is to see you two come together. And to think that it all started from Instagram almost makes it even that a little bit better, for the simple fact that so many, like, you guys are just such a good, great, wonderful couple. And it all started from there, from liking each other's pictures, which is the most relatable thing I think anybody can ever have. And I love the fact that after you guys met on Instagram and then got engaged, obviously, and then you guys were talking about what love meant to you. Mm-hmm. And that's what you wanted your wedding mm-hmm. day to be like. And that's something that I've always thought about, to me, with my partner, whoever, hopefully that happens one day I get married, is what does love mean to us? Yeah. And that's what I want to exhibit in our wedding. And I think it's so wonderful that you guys are doing
that.
And I really hope that everybody, because I'm experiencing it in person right now, I feel like everybody needs to experience what you guys present in person. And so how do they get tickets to this wedding? How can they go? How can they celebrate love with you guys on Saturday?
Yeah, so if you guys are still interested in coming to the gala and the benefit portion, there are still tickets. They're $200 on the gwed.com. that's also the benefit concert, which is right after the gala. It's $35 and people can come crash the wedding. And
Vince Vaughn, if you're listening, please come.
Oh my God, I know.
I will be doing that.
Vince Vaughn is like one of my, like, I love wedding crashers. I'm going to be crashing this wedding, and I come from a very big Italian family, so we always give money at weddings. So I'm coming with cash.
Yeah.
So people can come with cash, right?
Yes, definitely. There's going to be silent auction, raffles, and different opportunities to raise money and funds there.
Way you could give back, we're really excited about our opening number. We have an original track that was produced by Matt Thalen,
Jacob Maeda, and Sam Kisaka.
And it's called Nothing Can Tear Us Apart. It's available on iTunes. You can download it now for $1.29. Oh, and a portion of those proceeds go to help the GWED nonprofit. So,
and this is an original track made for you guys.
Made for us.
Yeah. You guys, your first your song for your first dance.
You guys will just have to see. We won't give it away. But there is literally so much live music and a band, like an incredible band that has been on tours with some of the most renowned artists. And we have Q&A with a lot of the organizations and other Dean himself.
Dean himself.
That's good. Can I write
some of the questions?
Yes. Actually, I could totally need help. You're hired. You're a new bridesmaid.
There we go.
I actually don't have a maid of honor, Vanessa.
If you
get Vince Vaughn on this,
I will be tweeting at him.
Yeah, that's the thing. Whoever can raise the most money is the best man in the wedding.
And he's not joking about that, because I brought it up multiple times. He's like, well, my friend is actually out donating you right now, so you got to raise a couple more dollars and we'll see.
Well, I have a question. Do people get what's it called when you donate money and you get a tax receipt?
Yes, like they do. So with our fiscal sponsor, the Wayfarer Foundation, again, we're able to operate as a 501c3, so you get a tax receipt.
Okay, tax receipt. That's the word I was looking for.
Yeah, it's a charitable donation. So
Well, I have one last question. Do you, I've had like conversations with this with like
boyfriends of mine, and the conversation of destiny and fate. Do you believe that it was destiny brought you two together? And do you believe in fate?
100%.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Yeah, absolutely.
Expel upon that.
We grew up 15 minutes apart from each other. We probably crossed paths a dozen times because our high schools played against each other. We went to the same church. She knew my stepmom before she became my stepmom.
And this is all in Chicago.
All in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And then we came out here and met. And it wasn't, for me at least, love at first sight. But because I had so Tiffany knew what you wanted.
I'm no shame about that, though. I knew what I wanted. So I'm like,
I'm like, that rain came drizzling down. And I was like,
I needed to go through my own process, and I still am. But no, I totally believe in destiny and
fate. I think it's like where your intention is. So if you, because whatever you put out there, that's what you attract. And so call that destiny, call that fate, call that whatever. I think if love is what you're looking for and the raw, unconditional love, it's going to come back around. And I think one of the things that we often talk about a lot, and we're going to talk a lot about the night of, is being vulnerable and being open. That's one thing that really meshed us together, was being able to talk about the really hard, difficult things that most people kind of just suppressed and don't want to talk about. But it's hard. And you have to be there for one another, and you have to be patient, and you have to be, you got to be committed to it. And so, and know that the other perfection doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm. And you guys have been doing a lot of press regarding this, the G-Wed, as you guys are calling it. Do you find that that helps you open up even more about things, or has it been a challenge to kind of get traction with all that?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that has been a crazy experience in itself, because we had made a little 5-minute segment video to kind of kick off this whole idea project. And that was the first time we really, like, because we was on camera, like, I broke down probably a dozen times and just let all this, like, things that I've suppressed in the past, like, come up. And so, yeah, this has been such a growing experience for both of us, for our relationship. And, like, we're so glad we were going to either go big, I mean, go to the courthouse, or, you know, do this, the greatest wedding ever donated. And we're so thankful because we get to meet amazing people like you. And
you guys are the amazing ones.
Seriously.
It is. I mean, and just to kind of piggyback off that, it takes the power away from a lot of the things that we've experienced personally. Talk therapy is like a huge thing. But I think when you're able to kind of say whatever happened, like my sexual abuse, like the first time that I said it and told Caleb, I was bawling for 8 hours. Couldn't even say it. Could not, would not, don't even want to go there. And the more that I talked about it, and the more comfortable that I got with it. And then I was less in like a victimization kind of state and more of like, okay, I'm past it and I want to be empowered by this rather than held back by it. And same thing goes for Caleb. I think he's lived his life like this the whole time. So I'm learning it. He's the optimist out of the relationship. And he's, because like, yeah, when you're given a life expectancy at age one, you're like, well, I have one way to live and that's the only way that I go. So
I think it's incredible. I love you both. You guys are both inspirations to everyone. For the listeners out there, if you want to make a charitable donation to something greater than yourself, something for love for Caleb and Tiffany, but more importantly for them, the charitable organizations that they're working with, go to www.thegwed.com. It's THEGWED. And when you guys made your first Instagram, I was always calling it the Gwed. And I was like,
people call it the G-Wed, the Gwed, the Gwed.
Oh, wedding,
like,
yeah,
we didn't even know what to call it. We're
just like, I think
go to the website.
The Gwed.
We have a Gwed quarters.
Yeah. It's perfect. So check it out, www.thegwed.com. No donation is too small. If you can only give a little bit, anything counts. If you're in Los Angeles, please come to the ceremony on Saturday, the charity concert afterwards.
I'll
as well.
Start the conga line. Yeah. Yes.
Dubbed. Got it.
Vanessa's going to be there. I'm going to be there. Ben and Brandy will be there. Yep. Tiffany and Caleb, of course, are going to be there. Maybe we can convince Jared to come as well.
I would love to, but I'm away on Saturday. I'm flying home.
Cancel those plans.
I know. I'm honestly debating it.
But if you're not in the area, like Dean said, you can always go on the website to donate.
Download the song.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I've already
nothing can
mine.
Tear us apart. That's so cute.
Yeah.
Wow.
You guys are amazing. Yeah. Thank you so much.
I love them.
We got a lot of response to Sean. Sean emailed us last week saying, I have no confidence for asking out women. Remember Sean?
Yes.
Yep. Well, we got a lot of response. Here's Bella. She's 21 and she says, I would absolutely rather guys come up to me than hit on me from behind a phone screen. Sean, if you're listening, this is big news for you. Mm-hmm. I grew up with online dating and still it would sweep me off my feet if a guy came up to me in person, gave me a compliment and asked me out. Bar, grocery store, class, whatever. Most of us girls are open to it. We won't be creeped out if you don't do it in a creepy way. Now, here's my question. I have met guys who are totally awesome online, funny and outgoing. We click so well, but they're totally quiet, boring, lifeless, and weird in person. Why is this? Dean, Easton, Mark, Erica, Jared.
Vanessa.
Clue a girl in. Why do guys have a totally different personality in person than they do over text? Do girls do this too? I need more of an answer than they're nervous. I'm nervous too, but I am my best self on a date. What do you guys think about this? Is this both genders? Is this generation because it's all online dating?
I think there's it's a combination of things. One, I think interpersonal relationships, like the first time you meet someone in person, it's kind of like the audition process. You're like, I'm going to be like polite and I'm going to do all these things that I think this other person wants me to do or say. And you're not totally being yourself. So you're kind of like filtering like the person that you are. So I would say like give it like 2 or 3 dates until you really get to see who that person is. And if that personality that you liked on the screen, you know, behind, you know, on whatever app you guys met, if it does end up coming up later.
Yeah, we talked about this, the three-day rule. Like, usually you go on 3 dates before you can really judge if this person's going to be something substantial or not. Having said that, man, it is tough. We talked about this last week, putting your mindset into a younger generation. Because this generation has just grown up with the fact that we talk to people over phones, not in person. And so it's kind of awkward when you first meet somebody, especially as a 20, 21-year-old.
There's a couple things working, though. I feel like a lot of communication can get lost via text. Like you, even like some of your closest friends you text with on a daily basis, they're a different version of themselves when they're texting just because people look at texting differently than they do like verbal communication. I will say that I think I'm funnier over text, mostly because I can take a little bit longer to respond
yeah.
and like come up with
and
something.
Curate that answer.
Google answers, exactly. I'm 100% funnier, especially in those first moments of a relationship where you're like, trying to be funny and like outgoing and all this kind of stuff. And I mean, I like to think that even when I'm in the first date mode and I get to meet that person face to face for the first time, I'm still kind of that way, but definitely not as funny.
Right.
So maybe that's just this same situation.
Do you ever like write out an answer in a queue and then leave it there for a couple minutes and then come back to it and you're like, it either sounds better or you think of something worse or better to say?
No, but maybe I should start.
Yeah, you write it out. That's what I do sometimes.
Oh, you do? It's so you pathetic. Draft stuff?
No. It depends on what I'm texting or who I'm texting. If it's like, or emailing, obviously, making sure if it is like some sort of business or professional thing. Like, I'll write it out first, reread it, kind of separate myself from it for 5 minutes and then come back and reread it again. And I'm like, okay, this sounds better.
Too much work.
I read it out loud. I'm not saying if you're texting a girl, you should be doing this, but sometimes it helps if you read it out loud, take a minute to think about it and you're like, nope, it sounds better if I shorten it or do this or do that.
I'm the opposite. I'll write something out. I'll look at it. I'll be like, this is so stupid. Send. Like, why am I saying this or writing this?
That's amazing. Usually those are the best course of action, though.
It's just, I think I don't have the patience to come back to something later on.
I'm not saying this involved. I took it off of the rails because I was thinking more of like emails and business things. Mm-hmm. But this is more flirty.
Jamie's case, it sounds like it's a business thing.
I don't know.
But
that's
it is with Bella, her complaint, it is a lack of confidence I think a lot of people have because they're so much more confident behind a keyboard, behind their phone, and then face-to-face, it can be intimidating, especially if most of your conversation is happening in comment sections.
So then, Bella, why don't you do this then? Why don't you try FaceTiming them before you meet them in person so you kind of like break the ice?
That's a good idea.
I don't hate it.
I think in this case, definitely give him a second chance, but I like the FaceTime idea. I think that's really good. There was one time back ages ago when I was doing the online dating thing, like maybe like 3 or 4 years ago, and I was going to meet up with this girl, and I was like, I just want to make sure that this is going to be something that's like worth both our while. So I did the FaceTime thing. It ended up actually being, we went on a few dates. We're still friends to this day. It didn't really turn into anything too serious, but it definitely was a lot better going into the date knowing that we had already had a face-to-face conversation.
Less intimidating.
Break the ice a little bit. Yeah. All right, another response to Sean. Carolyn says, first of all, she says, love the podcast. So happy Jared's become a co-host. Aww. What a great addition to the team.
Carolyn, thank you. Carolyn, excuse me.
Carolyn, yes. Regarding Sean's email, there was a conversation about 19-year-olds asking people out in person. I'm a 19-year-old girl, and I absolutely prefer to be asked out in person, and it has happened to me maybe twice. I 100% agree it shows total confidence. No matter what you look like, I will give 5 minutes of my time to have
a
conversation because you are pursuing a conversation with me. Now, for Jared and Dean, being 29 and 27, would you ever date someone who is 19, 20? If you asked someone out thinking they were older and then found out they were that age, would that be a complete turnoff for you? This is from experience. She says she went out on a date with a 27-year-old who thought she was older. When she said she was 19, something switched. It kind of ended at that point. Thanks for the time. Hopefully next week I'll suck a little bit less. Carolyn in Vancouver.
Thanks, my little Canuck.
I'm going to say, I might catch some flack for this, that is too young. I know that it's just too young.
I'll let you guys answer this one and then I'll chime in.
I try to always think of age as just a number and that it's more than just, you know, a number that you can put on somebody. Having said that, it is hard for, you know, somebody who is, like you said, 27 to overlook the fact that they're dating a 19-year-old.
But to Carolyn's point, you're clicking. You meet this person, you're clicking. Yeah. Age doesn't come up. You're having a great conversation. There's a mutual attraction there. Oh, by the way, I'm 19. Are you out the door?
I don't think you should be out the door. But I think it asks more questions early on in the relationship that may not be there if you were dating a 25-year-old. Having said that, think about college. You know, you're 27-year-old. You know, if you're 27 and you have your job and you bought a house and you're kind of ready to settle down, and then you're dating a 19-year-old and she's like, well, you know, I'm going in my junior year of college, you know, and I don't graduate for 2 more years. And then I'm thinking about going to my master's, and like he's doing the, you know, age in his head. And he's like, well, that's 4 years from now. So I'm 31 then. And so,
do you guys really think like that at 27?
No. I don't think so. I don't think as much, but I'm just saying like.
That's news to me.
I think that there are a couple of things come to mind that benefit Carolyn's case right now. One is that she's in Vancouver, and one of the turnoffs for me for dating someone under 21 in America is that we can't go to bar settings with my friends or her friends, etc. Because
how old is she?
She's 19, so she can
go to
Vancouver.
If you're doing long distance, because in Canada, well, in Montreal it's 18, and then I think the rest of Canada might be 19 years old.
But I'm just saying, I'm sure that the 27-year-old that she met is also in Vancouver, and so that's a non-issue for them there. That it would be in America,
right.
Number two working in our favor is that we have a success story in this studio right now about a mid to late 20s man dating a 18 to 19-year-old woman that is now married to 15 years with 2 kids.
Yeah.
I was 26 and she was 18.
26.
Oh, yeah. So what's your advice on this?
My advice is if you're clicking, this could be the one. I mean, you never know.
And look, I feel like, so my last relationship, he was 9 years older than I was. So I was like, oh my God, this is perfect. Like, I was always the girl that wanted to have kids and wanted to be married. And I thought I needed to date an older guy because then I thought, you know, he's established. He's at the age where he's going to want kids. He wasn't at that point yet. So I do think that if you're both, if your life is, if you have the same intentions and the same goals, then who really cares about age? You know,
I agree.
It's so hard though, because we always tell people like you shouldn't really settle down to your late 20s because you really need to find out more about yourself. So it's like it's almost like a double standard to a certain extent where you're talking out both sides of your mouth. I'm not saying you guys, but I'm just saying society in general, where it's like one side is like, well, age is just a number. It's just 19 or 20. And then the next person will say, well, you need to really figure yourself out before you can settle down and find out the person, because if you marry too young, then you're always curious about.
Well, we're
people.
Not talking about marriage right now. We're just talking about
a mile a minute
dating.
Right now.
But I'm just saying like it's a very gray area. So, of course, I don't think just throw somebody out if they're 19 years old.
If you like them, you like them. You know,
it's definitely assessed on a case by case basis. I don't think there's one overarching rule. Look at Mark's case. He's, you know, happily married 15 years. They met when they were 8 years apart and she was 18. So I'm going to tackle this next email, you guys. You ready for this?
Perfect. We're ready. Who is it?
This one's from Janelle.
Hi, Janelle.
Hi, Dean, Mark, Easton, Jared, and Vanessa. I'm so sick of sending messages on dating apps and not getting a response. I've tried the simple hi, finding someone in their profile to comment on, and even Erica's sup seal, and I still only get one reply for every 20 messages I send. I've told you, Janelle, do not use the sup seal. I've even slid into a few DMs, including Jared's, actually, funny enough. What could I be doing wrong?
Janelle.
What other ideas would you recommend? I'm almost 30 and I'm so sick of seeing these dead ends. Is it time to get on eHarmony? Help,
girl.
I can't even get the date to suck at dating.
I love this girl. Oh, man. Like I said earlier, when I just turned 30 and I was single and I really wanted to find a committed relationship, I was opening up my, you know, the idea to joining. eHarmony. But I mean, like, some.
Will you just come right out
at
it with this? Tell us how you met this guy that you're dating.
We're not talking about that. We are talking to Janelle right now.
Janelle needs this advice to better her chances to find someone important in her life.
You're really only hurting Janelle right now. I hope you know this.
Janelle, just slide into my DMs and we'll talk about it.
And then screenshot them and post them. Oh, were you going to say, Vanessa?
Where was I going with this? What could I be doing wrong? For, I don't think you're doing...
Janelle, you should absolutely join eHarmony or put yourself out there. And I don't think you're doing anything wrong with sliding into DMs. I'm sorry if I did not answer yours. I'm sure. But yeah, go for it. Go on eHarmony. Absolutely. Go on Match. Go on Tinder. Go on whatever you want. Like, put yourself out there. I guess you can't say that you suck at dating unless you kind of put yourself out in different avenues to go on dates, which would be online dating now.
And Tammy made the advice earlier. Maybe she was a little biased because she's a matchmaker and she doesn't want to condone the use of those apps. But she was saying just like, go to charity events,
yeah,
go on hikes.
Put yourself out there.
Go to things that you would, where you met, if you met someone at one of those things, then you would know that he's a stand-up guy because he is putting himself in those environments to give back to organizations or, you know, put something else before himself.
And I think there's something to be said about focusing on yourself, doing things for yourself, because I also believe what you put out there is what you get back. Right. So if you go out to an event and you go out with your friends and you just go out to have fun, people will be naturally gravitate towards you, and you never know who might come say hi.
I completely agree with you. This is going to be a really weird analogy, but you know when you go shopping and you're looking for like a specific dress with polka dots and you're like, I can't find it, because you're just focusing on that one thing, and then randomly one day when you go shopping, you end up finding that exact dress that you always wanted. I think if you're focusing on yourself and, you know, do things to further your career and to further yourself as a woman, it'll end up happening naturally. So I do believe in that.
Don't force it.
I wanted to get to Taylor real quickly. She's a senior in high school. She thinks she might be a little young to suck at dating, but she said plenty of boy problems.
Wait, hold on. What's senior? Because I'm from Canada. So what is senior?
Oh, senior is 12th, grade 12.
18 years old.
That's secondary.
I'm sorry. What is different in Canada?
18. Okay. 17, so in 18. Canada, well, in Quebec, we have grade 1 to 6, and then we have high school. So that's secondary 1 to secondary 5. And then we have 2 years of pre-university, which is Cégep. And then we have university for 4 years.
Did anybody get the gist of that?
Nope.
What?
Basically, she's like 17, maybe 18.
Okay.
She's a senior in high school, and she took horticulture because she needed more science credits this semester, and she loves the class. And along the way, she developed a crush on a boy named Connor. He's funny and charming, but pretty quiet and shy, and sometimes a little too sarcastic, which to me is every high school boy I've ever met,
sure. Yeah.
Including myself at that age. When I first met him, I told my friends I liked him. Now, a couple months later, I think he's making comments. He likes me. They aren't super clear, but it's like he's testing the waters. See if I like him back. So my question is, do I make a move and flat out ask him what he's been trying to hint at? Side note, he's leaving for boot camp later this summer, so I don't really know what our future would be, but I just don't know whether or not to take matters into my own hands and take action. Love you all. Keep doing what you're doing. Taylor in Seattle, not far from Vancouver.
Huh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, girl, I say... ask.
What have you got to lose?
Yeah.
Nothing to lose. And plus, don't worry about the boot camp during the summer. If things are going to work out, they'll work out. Like, if what's the worst that can happen? You end up falling in love with this guy, and then obviously you're going to have to deal with some sort of long-distance relationship, but is that really the worst thing possible, that you find love?
You know, I'm not opposed to long-distance. I actually enjoy it.
Well, boot camp's obviously very different
as well. I'm going to play a devil's advocate and say, don't sweat it. Don't even go for it.
Why?
Because they're both seniors in college.
High school.
He's going to boot camp.
High school.
I'm sorry. So they're both seniors in high school. They're probably going to end up going to different colleges. That's going to take away from both of their college experience.
See?
He goes to boot camp, sounds like he might be in the military.
Right, but this is what Jared was just saying about.
And then all of a sudden, see, this is what we do. We talk about both sides of our mouth. We're like, assume she's 18. She's 1 year younger than the 19-year-old that emailed us. And you told them to, like, don't worry about age. Don't worry about long distance. You should just, you know.
I never said don't worry about long distance.
I said don't worry about long distance.
Yes.
I said do it.
But, like,
ask him.
But you were just making the case that you should just kind of live out your 20s and find yourself.
It just sounds like to me she's got a very harmless crush on a guy that she kind of liked in high school who might kind of like her back. This is by no means someone that she is...
Well, clearly she likes him well enough to be writing us
and asking us. Yeah, of course. And I make that argument all the time. And I will say that I'm making this argument solely to see the other side of this as well. But I just think as going into college... I went into my freshman year of college in a relationship with someone that I did in high school. I don't regret it by any means, but it definitely is... You go to college to experience new things and have fun with friends and meet as many new people as you possibly can and maybe get an education as well while you're there.
Obviously.
And I don't know. I just think that it sounds like it's a harmless enough of a crush to not lose sleep over it if it doesn't amount to anything, which it sounds like it might not.
There are high school sweethearts, you know.
I was about to say, what would you say to high school sweethearts?
I've never heard of that before. What's that? I'm just kidding. No, high school sweethearts are fine too. But they were sweethearts in high school. This girl is a senior in high school. She took a gardening class and met a guy and has a small crush on him. And now he might have a crush on her back. They're not high school sweethearts.
Taylor, take the shot,
but don't invest too much into it is what I'm saying.
But I think she's saying investing. I think she just wants to know where his head is at.
You guys are all like, they're getting married.
No, I did not.
I said don't be concerned about the boot camp. If it goes that far, then let the chips fall where they may. Don't worry about that right now, Taylor.
Forget about this guy.
No, Taylor, just ask him. I would just ask him just to see where it leads.
Okay, yes, ask him and make your feelings clear
without any intentions. But, yes, exactly.
That's all we're saying.
We're just saying the same thing.
All right, never mind. All right, one more, and then we got to wrap it up. Ariel, I met my boyfriend in our college gym back in September. Started off as friends, ended up sleeping together. Afterwards, I asked him if this is a one-time thing or what. He said, no, I'm into this. Let's see where it goes. However, that's when everything seemed to flip for him in his life. He got kicked out of school because of poor grades. He had to move back with his parents in Nevada. He's 27 and pursuing his undergrad. I'm 24 and in my second year of grad school. He visited once a week in the beginning, but then ghosted 3 weeks in. And when he finally returned my text, he said he was depressed. Kind of get that. Anyway, he ended up finding an internship for the summer 7 hours away from me. He agreed he needed to work on his communication if we were going to make this happen. He left at the end of March and is visiting in June, but won't be done with his internship until August. Communication, still real bad. We talk maybe once a week, if at all. He blames it on being busy with work, but I truly believe we make time for those we want to, so it's all BS to me.
Mm-hmm.
Should I end things now or wait for him to turn and actually try to date and not be long distance? I like him, but it's tough without communication. Ariel.
Ooh, Ariel. I will always say this. The person that you're meant to...
Very proud, Vanessa.
I was like, trying to think.
The power of the pause. What is it?
It's supposed to be easy. When you first start, you know, when you date someone, it should be easy. I mean, of course, yes. Like the relationship would naturally take like its course of like, you know, having ups and downs and stuff. But if a person is into you, they will do whatever it takes to make it work, especially if they're having a hard time. And I always say this, when you're dating someone, it shouldn't be, how is this going to affect me? It's how is it going to affect us?
I
see that you've adopted that mentality, and I'm not sure if he has entirely. And granted, I mean, like, it seems like he is going through a lot right now. Mm-hmm.
But I think, here's the thing. Yeah, I can totally empathize with a guy that doesn't feel like maybe he's good enough for a girl like this, and that's why he's probably pushing her away.
That's probably accurate.
Yeah.
But what he needs to do is, if he really likes you, Ariel, is he'll put his insecurities and doubts to the side if he thinks that you're the most important person right now, and obviously he doesn't view that. And so I think right now the best thing would probably be to cut off communication for the simple fact that he needs to focus on himself, and you never know where the world will take you. Or like if, you know, you guys meet up however long from now and maybe he's in a better place and okay. But right now it just seems that he's not in a good place, and that's putting you in a bad place with him, because he's not doing what's best for you guys. He's kind of doing what's best for himself right now, which is okay if he's in a bad place. Having said that, I think for you it's best if you cut off communication.
And I think Vanessa said something last week along the lines of, girl, you don't got to wait for no man.
Did I say it exactly like that?
Yep. And it's not even, but here's the thing about,
in all.
But here's the thing about waiting too, is that I think you should never wait for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, how do I describe this?
Most destructive word in a relationship.
Never mind. Yeah. Move on. Let's just
look. Bottom line, she's not top of mind with him right now.
Well, he's got a lot going on.
He's got a lot going on. That's fine. But yeah, maybe the timing's wrong. So what's the advice? Do we suggest that they just kind of fizzle their communication, or do we suggest to her that she tells him that they should just stop talking? That's what I think.
I think she should tell him to stop talking.
I agree
with
you. Take the upper hand and be like, listen, Buster.
Because it might light a fire under his ass. So it's either going to go one of two ways.
I know, even if it does light a fire under his butt, I still think she should just...
So what if he starts texting her all the day and starts going to visit her all the time, and then really starts, and then starts bettering his own life because he wants to have this work?
Sure, he'll do that until he gets her back to where he wants her, and then he'll do exactly what he's done right now and continue to ghost her.
So you're saying that if he does start showcasing signs, what if like this goes on for like 2 months and he starts really putting more effort and time into the relationship, you still say like, nope?
I think the issue with this is once he realized where they were, and once he realized that he had her, he started fading away in his communication and started getting lackadaisical with it. And then once she says him that he no longer has her, then he'll light a fire under his butt, reignite him to get her back, and then once he gets her back, he'll...
So what you're saying is that people don't deserve second chances?
I'm not saying that at all.
So what are you saying?
I'm just saying that this guy...
I'm trying to interrupt you.
No, please.
No, I'm so interested.
Okay, keep going.
I'm saying that this guy... sounds like people that I know that have done something similar to this. It's not saying that people don't deserve second chances, because that's absolutely not true. Everyone deserves a second chance. But I just think that maybe he's at a place in his life where a relationship isn't a priority for him. And because of that, he'll get stuck in the cycle.
Yeah. My concern is that they've been dating for a while, September of last year, and he ghosted her for 3 weeks.
I totally agree. That's why I think they should cut it off.
Yeah.
I don't foresee this guy really putting effort in, but what I'm saying is if he starts showcasing more effort, like that's, I mean, I don't know. That's a very gray area whether you shut the door completely.
I'm very optimistic in a relationship. I like to try everything possible before I say goodbye. So Ariel, my advice is if you feel like you've done and said everything that you needed to say and do in order to make this relationship a successful one and you're still unhappy, then it might be time for you to try something different.
I'm trying to be more edgy and opinionated. I'm telling Ariel what she needs to do is text him. Don't even give him the decency of a phone call.
Yeah.
Tell him that she's no longer interested in having conversations with him, no longer interested in pursuing anything with
him.
Block his phone number.
Oh my God.
Block him on Instagram and Facebook and everything, all of that stuff, and then move on and find someone maybe in your graduate program with you. And by the way, I wanted to talk, this is off topic entirely, but I didn't get a chance to work it in organically into the conversation earlier.
Love it.
What?
Facebook had just announced this morning that they are unrolling a dating, not an application, but like a dating forum for their website as well.
Interesting.
So it's going to be like Facebook, Tinder,
boom-esque
thing. It's going to be interesting, and maybe we can talk about that next week. But
wow.
That'll do it for this week. Thank you so much for being in studio again, both Jared and Vanessa.
Thanks,
I love that
guys.
Jared's been,
you.
Like, I think we had a listener email earlier saying mm-hmm. how grateful we are to have him in studio every single week. And
I'm
the same
grateful
exact
to be
way.
Here. Are you kidding me?
And Vanessa, 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
Sign this girl on. She's killing it. We hope to make this a common thing.
I hope so.
It seems like, you know, I like the flow of it. I'm just going to come right out and say it.
I'm liking the synergy.
The
I
synergy
like the flow.
Is there. So again, big thank you to you guys. Big thank you to Tiffany and Caleb, of course, who are back in the back room behind us right now. They're not really paying attention, but they're beautiful people. They're doing an incredible
really
thing.
Are.
Be sure to check out their website, www.thegwed.com. THEGWED.com. The greatest wedding ever donated is what it stands for. Big thank you to Tammy Pickle at EliteConnections.com. If you have the funding available and you're really serious about getting into a relationship, check her out. Big thank you to Sherry's Berries. They're delicious. They're nutritious. Everyone loves chocolate. You get a whole bunch of berries.
So many berries.
Your
so
mom
berries.
Will love it.
Your mom will love them. Big thank you to Qdoba for bringing us lunch today. It was amazing. I had some barbacoa. And
oh my God, that was amazing.
Ooh,
that was really good.
This was a fun episode. I really appreciate everyone listening. Be sure to tune in next week for next week's episode of Help I Suck at Dating. This has been Dean.
Jared.
Vanessa.
And maybe next week.
We'll all suck a little bit less.
Follow Help I Suck at Dating with Dean Unglert on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.